Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Pretty big news this week, and it's not good news for those of you who support ending the war on drugs, who want to see that insanity come to an end. Well, the police and global police are doubling down. They're cracking down, and in the last week or two have really delivered a pretty strong blow to the darknet marketplaces. And for listeners that are maybe new to the show, maybe new to the idea of a darknet market, do either of you want to take a crack on a description of what that is?
Sure. There's another internet out there that the vast majority of us don't use, and you can only access it through the Tor browser. The Tor stands for the Onion Router. It was a government program. I think the Navy instituted it, the Naval Department of Intelligence or whatever it is.
I think the analogy has something to do with peeling layers.
Yeah, there's a bunch of layers to this particular internet, and it's far, far, far more private than the regular internet. Like your information there is very difficult to track. So people who don't want to have websites that are very difficult to track are going to have them on the Tor network.
But not impossible. Some of them have screwed up and left some data out there that they shouldn't have left out there, and it has led law enforcement to their server locations. It seems like most of these markets tend to last no longer than about 2 years, and they usually end up failing in either a raid and the arrest of the owners, or in an exit scam. That tends to be how it goes out there. So, you know, when you get into one of these places, you should know that it's probably going to end in one of those two ways. And indeed, recently, yet another one went down. We talked about Alphabay on this program. It was the world's top darknet marketplace, and it was taken down within the last couple of weeks. We discussed the owner, how he, or the alleged owner, now we'll never know for sure because he's dead, what happened to him. He was arrested in Thailand and ended up dead in a Thai jail cell, waiting extradition to the United States, supposedly at his own hand. But turns out there's an extra level of intrigue to this Alphabay takedown, and Wired's Andy Greenberg has the story. When Alphabay, the world's largest dark web bazaar, went offline 2 weeks ago, it threw the darknet into chaos as its buyers and sellers scrambled to find new venues. What those dark web users didn't and couldn't know, that chaos was planned. Dutch authorities had already seized Hansa, which was another major dark web marketplace, the previous month. For weeks, they operated it as usual, quietly logging the usernames, passwords, and activities of its visitors, including a massive influx of Alphabay refugees.
All this didn't stop people from buying drugs.
Right. It's the same old story as back out on the streets. You know, before there were darknet marketplaces, people would have to buy their drugs from street dealers locally. And if the cops took down one street dealer, that's just an opportunity for somebody else to step up and be willing to take that risk and make some money.
If I could just hear one story from one law enforcement officer about how it just saved possibly one life, then I would be complete. No, because that's what they're going. That's all they've got.
Yes.
Is maybe we stopped a drug user from getting drugs one time, one Saturday night. They weren't able to go out and they didn't
OD, find it.
They didn't drive inebriated in some manner or another.
So the next day they made 5 phone calls
and they didn't take a life. Yeah. So what we've done is we flushed the lives how many of these people out there filling a role in the marketplace down the tubes, and we've made our pensions, which people will pay after 20 years, basically keep us on the payroll for after 20 years of service. That's it. We've made ourselves useful.
There's a great quote near the end of the Wired article that I'm looking at. I assume it's the same one that you have, Ian, from Andrew McCabe from the FBI. We know that removing top criminals from the infrastructure is not a long-term fix. There's always a new player waiting in the wings, ready to fill those shoes, FBI Director Andrew McCabe said in Thursday's press conference. It's like demolishing a building. Hacking away at individual walls and beams only does so much, but using federal statutes to prosecute these individuals is akin to blowing up the foundation with dynamite.
No, it's not.
It's very simple, Mark. They know that removing top criminals from the infrastructure is not a long-term fix, but removing criminals from the organization, removing top criminals from the infrastructure. That is a long-term fix.
It's just contradicted himself.
He doesn't. Ladies
and gentlemen, one of two things is true. This guy is either correct, and in call it 1 year's time, call it 2 years' time, you will see the infrastructure of online drug sales has been decimated by the Federal Bureau of Investigations, Interpol, and the Asiatic whatever police services here.
And by decimated, you mean destroyed, not taken down by 10%?
That's right. Decimated as in destroyed. Right. You'll be able to see some real differences. In 2 years, we'll be reporting on, man, those police, they've really put stop to internet drug use. We've never done a story like that. No. You know why? Because it's stupid.
Impossible.
or this guy that you're paying, you're being forced to pay. The money is being extracted for his paycheck. And by the way, it's got to be six figures.
Oh, yeah. Director of the FBI?
Yeah. Head liar.
Thursday, Europol and the U.S. Department of Justice jointly announced the fruits of the largest ever sting operation against the dark web's black markets, including the seizure of Alpha Bay, a market Europol estimates generated more than $1 billion in sales of drugs, stolen data, and other illegal goods over its 3 years online. 3 years is a long run for one of these websites, yeah. By the way. While Alpha Bay's closure had previously been reported as an FBI operation, the agency has now confirmed that takedown, while Europol also revealed details of its tightly coordinated Hansa takeover. So Hansa is a competitor of, or was a competitor of Alpha Bay. Hansa was also shuttered as of Thursday. The dark web looks substantially diminished from just a few short weeks ago, and its denizens are shaken by law enforcement's deep intrusion into their underground economy. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said in a press conference Thursday morning, quote, "This is likely one of the most important criminal cases of the year. Make no mistake, the forces of law and justice face a new challenge from the criminals and transnational criminal organizations who think they can commit their crimes with impunity by going dark."
Bum, bum, bum.
"This case, pursued by dedicated agents and prosecutors, says you are not safe. You cannot hide. We will find you, dismantle your organization and network, and we will prosecute you." Now, this is the same tough talk that they put out in their press release after they busted the Silk Road, almost 4 years ago.
This is the same tough talk that's just modified slightly from when they, you know, take down a group of 17-year-olds on bicycles with bags of weed. I mean, whatever. It's the same thing over and over again.
So what Sessions says here makes it sound like what I was suggesting about McCabe. What he was saying was true, that they believe that there is a dark, shadowy organization. Sessions says here, "The forces of law and justice face a new challenge from the criminals and transnational criminal organizations who think they can commit their crimes with impunity by going dark." So what he's suggesting there is these are the same, that he believes that these darknet marketplaces are indeed run by the very same criminal organizations that are notoriously, you know, the Zetas in Mexico, the drug mules and gangs and these organizations.
I suspect this isn't true.
It could be true, but there's no evidence for that claim.
Right.
It's just a bunch of computer geeks that have been getting busted.
A bunch of big time drug dealers have decided to give up drug dealing
and turn into
computer programmers and run websites which do nothing but allow small time drug dealers
to compete
to send drugs to street level buyers. Free Talk Live is one of the very few commercial radio programs in America that you can get 7 days a week. We provide it to you live, and that's a hell of accomplishment. Also, I believe that I'm going to win the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu White Belt Nationals this year.
That's okay. That's a pretty brazen claim.
Are these stupid claims we're getting from this news story.
Okay,
apparently, if you have some small success, like being able to pull off a radio program 7 days a week, you could just say dumb, outlandish things that are completely untrue, and people will believe you. I'm presuming people believe this news story.
Murray Rothbard, I think, that great old libertarian, said that states will always seek to maintain command points in the economy, like the state troopers on the highway, for example, or the border checkpoints, the border crossings.
I bet you 9 out of 10. Now, this is just pure speculation. 9 out of 10 drugs that you buy, if you were to buy a drug from the street and you were to buy the same drug from the darknet marketplace, 9 out of 10 times the darknet markets are going to be the purest, best form of that. That might even be 10 out of 10 times are going to be the purest, best form of that drug. Because street dealers are not known for being particularly honest. They're not known for being particularly, you know, scrupulous in how they do their business.
Sure.
So they frequently are cutting the product.
If they've got a kilo of cocaine, I'm just picking a drug here, and they are going to sell that out at individual levels, they can sell it out at grams, completely pure, and have 1,000 grams, so mm-hmm. they can cut it down into halves, you know, make it half as pure and sell 2,000 grams and make twice as much money. Yeah. I don't know. Look, ladies
how
and gentlemen,
it works.
You should not come to me on how pure your cocaine should be. I have no idea.
We have Gary still on the line with us in North Carolina. Gary, you were talking about the passport and how you believe that it's the passport application that opts people into the U.S. citizenship. But it would seem to me that the government in the United States is going to consider you a citizen whether or not you apply for their passport. So what were you trying to say there?
All right, let me clarify. It's actually the birth certificate is what you volunteer yourself in with, but you opt yourself out by doing two things. You take an affidavit, which is the king of all law documents. You have to submit it to the head of the person who does all the, and I can't get internet right now. My internet's out, so I'm on my cell phone doing this, so I can't look up the thing. The person I'm trying to tell you is, you submit an affidavit along with the application saying that you want to be a U.S. national when you check that box. So if you look at that thing, there's a box right there that says real careful in big letters, like scares you if you check that box that you're doing something wrong. But that's what you want to check is the U.S. national to become a U.S. national, not a U.S. citizen, and submit the affidavit. Because if they reply to the affidavit, they admit guilt.
If they reply to the affidavit, why would they reply to it?
Because they're telling you, no, you can't do that. You can't be a U.S. national with constitutional rights.
Have you actually done this, Gary?
Yeah, well, not me, but there was a radio show from a guy who his whole life was a lawyer, and they debated about this. The radio show was about this. It just went off the air.
Why haven't you done it?
What am I going to gain from it? I'm poor. I'm not rich. I have nothing to, you know. If I had money, I'd do it because I would want my freedom like this. Like those cats from the UN got. They go around New York, can't be touched.
You really think that if you fill out the passport application in the way that you are saying to fill it out, that will result in you being free?
No. The guy who has the book, he's got a book detailing all this out.
I'm sure he does. And Chris Gronsky will charge you, you know, several hundred dollars to walk you through the process.
The book's free.
Oh, really?
And he's saying the whole thing about this. The whole deal is the freedom is knowledge.
What I want to know is, you know, I want to hear from people who've actually done it. I mean, we get a lot of people who call in with these theories, but almost every time I ask the question, none of them have done the theory that they are advocating.
What I'm getting at is this. When you've got hardworking Americans and they work a job or multiple jobs to support a family, 50% of the people don't pay taxes. You've got these scummy politicians that won't do anything, give us health care, won't fix our infrastructure. The point I'm making tonight is this. I'm hoping that one day America will really get its comeuppance. And what I'm referring to is another 9/11. It could happen inside. It could happen through the outside.
Well, man, you
but
always
America,
catch me just
it's
a flat-footed.
Sad because there are good people in this country. Do not get me wrong.
There are good people in the country, sure.
But this country is run by such trash that do not have our interests at heart. If there was
you
another
9/11. You mean like those white Christian politicians, those white male Christian politicians?
I don't see any politicians anywhere coming out doing anything for anyone.
I don't blame a group of people based on their religious or ethnic origins. If you want to blame somebody, blame. I think he was right on in the very beginning of his call. The politicians are the problem. These are men and women in search of power over other human beings, and that's where all of these problems come from. It comes from the human's desire to control others. And, you know, that desire to control others spreads across all of humanity, from what I can tell, not just, Jews or whites or blacks or, Asians or whoever. There are people in search of power within all of those divisions, if you will. It's a problem with humanity.
In the Forbes Book of Business Quotations, 1997, edited by Edward C. Goodman and Ted Goodman, I don't know if they're related, page 639, a similar statement has been attributed to William Ewart Gladstone and was also cited in the National Elementary School Principal, volume 28, published in 1948. We look forward to a time when the world, when the power of love will replace the love of power. Then our world will know the blessings of peace. A similar statement was also attributed to Jimi Hendrix, though he could have been quoting or paraphrasing Sri Chinmoy, whom they're crediting the statement to, or conceivably Gladstone. When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. Mm. It's a nice paraphrase of it and really sort of shrinks it down rather than attributing godhood to man or, adding a bunch of flowery language around peace. It's just nice and solid there.
If you're Europol or whatever and you're running Hansa and you're logging the data, wouldn't you have addresses of people, physical addresses?
Excellent question. So that brings up the question of operational security for the user. So when you are on these darknet market sites, the good ones will recommend that you, or even require, that you PGP encrypt your message to the seller. So the seller is looking to sell you something, you're looking to buy. They will usually say, hey, look, you need to give the seller your shipping address, but you shouldn't just type it in because otherwise it could be logged on the site. And, any federal agent that seizes
and when the FBI takes over this site.
Right. Right. I mean, it happens so often, you can pretty much expect, you can count on it at some point. If they take over the site, all they'll see if you've used PGP encryption is a bunch of gobbledygook. They won't have any idea what the address was that you had sent, unless, of course, they were running the drug seller's account. So if the seller that you're dealing with is actually a federal agent, then you've sent them your address. But even then, in that case, you could still have plausible deniability because they can't prove necessarily that it was you who sent your own address.
Scaring off the low-level drug dealers, the ones that have the low tolerance for risk, I think is the way I would describe it. It isn't. You're not going to scare off the buyers, right? There's always going to be buyers because now we have a news story out. More people have become informed. My God, I don't have to go out in the street and get robbed to get drugs. I can just go on the internet and get them delivered to my house. This sounds so much safer and better.
It is so much safer and better.
And, I want this. So buyers, not a problem. Now what you've done, thank you, law enforcement, is you've eliminated the drug dealers that have a lower tolerance for risk.
True.
That means you have made a market for the drug dealers with a higher tolerance for risk. The people with higher tolerance for risk have lower levels of intelligence, fewer life goals, more likely to go to prison,
lower valuation of their own life and freedom.
And others.
Yeah. And others.
What,
so you're
more
saying they're
to
lowering the quality of the dealers. Is what
right.
You're saying.
They've made it more dangerous. And just made generally it more dangerous to do business on these sites. And that's bad, not good. But they call that a success.
Well, they just want bodies
and cells.
The people
there to protect you call making your life more dangerous.
They don't care about
success.
That. They're not there to protect you. They're there to protect the state and its interests. And its
the
interest
state has
to continue
an interest
this.
In happy and healthy citizens.
Though customers on dark websites are advised to encrypt their addresses so that only the seller of the purchased contraband can read it, which we discussed earlier, many of them don't, creating a short trail of breadcrumbs to their homes for law enforcement when they seize the site's servers. Now, to be clear, we have yet to hear about a massive roundup of drug buyers from these busts. I mean, these guys have been taking down.
What are they going to do exactly? We have a message from you saying that you wanted some drugs shipped to your house. And?
Well, okay. Well, here's what they'll do, Mark. If they were to do this, and so far we've not heard anything about them ever doing this, they've taken down some drug sellers that they've sort of inadvertently found sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes like a box will break open and, you know, cocaine will spill out in a mail processing room, and then they'll say, oh, where'd this come from? And, you know,
this isn't powdered sugar.
Figure it out, you know, from that point forward or backwards or however you want to look at it. And then, you know, every now and then you'll hear about a drug dealer taken down through some other undercover means or whatever. But you never have heard, despite all of these different takedowns of Silk Road 2.0, the other ones whose names I don't recollect.
Remember Atlantis?
I think Atlantis just went dark. I don't think they got taken down by the feds. But, you know, for all of those takedowns, we've never heard, today, feds roll out, you know, massive coordinated takedown of 1,000 users or 100 or even, you know, a dozen.
At one time, when I was a young man, I invented some sunglasses that would improve your posture.
Uh-huh.
And it was a very simple principle.
All right.
I was inspired by the sequel to Friday, Next Friday, wherein Ice Cube had some neighbors who were Latinos, and they wore their watch caps pulled so far over their heads that they had to square their shoulders way back and kind of look out the bottom of it. So I made these sunglasses that were taped up on the inside at the top, so you could only see out of the very bottom of them.
So you'd have to do the
same
thing.
So when you put them on, you
have to lean back.
Right. And
why aren't you wearing those these days, man? That sounds kind of cool.
Because it's uncomfortable to have good posture.
Sure is.
But my email address was inspired. My email address at the time was inspired by my invention. Uh-huh. It was I shortened posture-improving sunglasses to pimp sunglasses.
Nice.
And then a friend of mine said, why don't you just have an email address with your name? And I decided that probably made more sense.
And it was a Hotmail address?
It was my next Gmail address, which is my name. But, because I would explain, whenever I was telling somebody my email address, I had to explain to them that I'm not really a big fan of pimps. It's just that I have this great invention and et cetera, et cetera.
It was probably a great idea to explain that to them while you were still trying to sell the sunglasses. But after you realized, I'm not going to make a bunch of money on these sunglasses, then, you know, it just became a pain.
The cartels have special agreements with various immigration and customs enforcement officers in order to get their product into the country.
Yep, looks so, the other way.
Yeah, and that is their competitive advantage. The darknet markets cut them off at the knees.
Sure do. Dark web users, meanwhile, were rattled by the sting, advising each other to change their passwords as soon as possible and spreading paranoid warnings of a possible backdoor into darknet markets. Looks like I'll be sober for a while, said one user, not trusting any markets at the moment. He wrote on a Reddit dark web market forum, but don't expect even this law enforcement victory to permanently damage the dark web's black market business. After all, takedowns like the seizure of the Silk Road in 2013 and so-called Operation Onimus in 2014, which ended half a dozen top darknet sites, that was the chunk that I couldn't remember because there were so many that they took down, took chunks nearly as large out of the darknet market infrastructure. Each time business rebounded as users went again in search of anonymous online contraband sales. Quote, law enforcement may have won this battle, but they will never win the war on drugs. Unquote. We were going to talk about minimum wage laws, Johnny Ray. That was the next chapter in the book. And this has been an issue, unlike rent control, which was the chapter prior to this, which doesn't exist in a lot of places these days. Minimum wage laws are pretty ubiquitous within the United States.
Sure. The labor is, there's just a soft spot in almost everyone's heart for the working man.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
And a lot of those working men don't make a whole heck of a lot of money. And folks think that it's just a matter of saying, well, that's not right. And there ought to be a law
and
because that guy's working hard and he should make
a living wage. Should be able to take care of his family.
Well,
who wouldn't want that?
I would want that. And I'm going to go ahead. I don't know what Hazlitt has to say on this one, but I'm just going to go ahead and
have you given up on the readings?
I haven't done the readings since I got back from vacation.
Yeah, right?
Vacation back over the holidays.
I see.
But to call the minimum wage a living wage is conflating two separate terms. I mean, it's like calling a bicycle and a car the same thing because they're both considered vehicles on the road by the law. Mm. It just doesn't make any sense. Look, a minimum wage is the minimum that you're willing to pay a person to do any job in a given marketplace. And by a person, I mean including 14-year-olds who have a job after school, including, whomever it might be. Look, there are certainly some heads of household out there, but the vast majority of people who are earning minimum wage are not people who are even paying, the rent on the domicile in which they live.
I want to ask Johnny Ray. I heard that he knew how to do Bitcoin mining, but I wanted to know if he was familiar with the currency IOTA. Because I'm trying to read through that, and it's like a whole different language, and I don't understand it.
I'm familiar with it, Robert. But only insofar as that IOT comes from is an acronym for Internet of Things.
That's correct.
And that's basically all I know about it. I think Bitcoin is really the only. Is what you should speculate on, is what you should try first. You should start with Bitcoin, and then after you feel like you've got a position in Bitcoin that is okay with you and you're bored with Bitcoin, then you should move mm-hmm. on. But otherwise, yeah, I would go with Bitcoin first and not fool with anything else.
Look, I can't speak to specifically cannabis coin or IOTA or any of these things, but what I've got the idea is the ICO craze.
Initial coin offering
is what they're calling it. It's kind of like an IPO,
stocks.
Yeah, initial public offering, but there's no government involved. So what you have is a lot of BS and hucksters, okay?
Pump and dump.
So, right, I can trot out a coin with a cool website that says, my coin is going to solve the problem of delivering every deserving male in America will get steaks and attention, right? Mm. Now, these are good things, right? Steaks are good. Attention is good. My coin's going to solve these problems. Now, you would know, because I'm trotting it out on something stupid, that it's a stupid idea. But if I just brought out a coin that says, look, it's the Internet of Things, and people like the Internet of Things and Internet and bling, 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 coins, buy them, right? Uh-huh. This is happening all over the ether sphere out there,
people are
Robert.
Getting rich quick.
And just because somebody said cannabis and coin does not mean that coin
has a future.
Anything
has
to do with
cannabis.
Has
the power of marijuana behind
right.
it.
That the people who are behind it are of any value.
They probably got high,
yeah,
but that doesn't mean it's going to succeed.
I can't speak to these coins. I can't speak for them or against them, but I can tell you this is your money, therefore your future. Guard it wisely. When you look at these coins, you've got to read, 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 read.
The wage somebody is paid comes from something that is somewhat concrete. It is what your employer can expect to get by employing you.
Right. And that's not to say that if you're not worth a certain amount of money to an employer, that you're not worth a certain amount of money. Right. So in one case, not too long ago in 1998, I worked at a restaurant called I worked at a restaurant
called
John's Restaurant in Bartow, Florida.
Yeah.
And
half your lifetime ago.
Yeah. This was getting out of prison. Yeah. This was the halfway house situation. And they employed me first as a dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
And basically because I was going to be there. Right? Crackheads, they don't always show up. Prisoners, they show up. And I was a terrible dishwasher. Mm. Just awful.
Wow.
Not
a hard job.
My hands peeled.
Every job is hard.
Well.
Because you're competing for your job. And if somebody comes along who's better at it than
true.
You are.
Good point.
And so anything you do, you
it's
have
not
to
a
be
complicated
able to do
job.
It.
It's not a complicated job.
Yeah, I just wasn't very good at it.
Not a high-skilled job.
I was a slower dishwasher than other people.
Okay. Low-skilled jobs are usually harder than every other job.
Right.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.